I want to ask everybody who is anywhere from kindergarten through the 12th grade to come up, please. And if you are a teacher in any school system anywhere, please come up. Just come and stand with me. Come on, come on, come on. Huddle, huddle, huddle. Get up here. Come on, come on. Get up here. Come on, Miss Wanda. Get. Come on, Jessica. Come on, your little sister. Bring them on. Get. Ashley, you're a teacher. Come on up here. Somebody else that's beside you is a teacher. Come on up here. You're feeding? Well, we'll send blessings your way. Come on. Get up here. Tight. Tighten up. Now, we're going to have a prayer this morning for these young people, because guess what happens tomorrow?
We're going back to school.
Yes. Parents are happy. All that kind of stuff. Well, I think it's going to be a good day. So I want you to touch the person beside you or touch my hand or something. Come on, there you go, Camden. Now, all of you out there, I want you to think about these young people as we pray for them and their schools and the goodness that's going to be about them as they come back, okay? Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you so much this day for who you are in our lives, for loving us, for blessing us. And I thank you, Lord, for these young people here this day. For the teachers, I just ask, Lord, your blessings on them as they prepare their hearts and their minds to be able to teach the things that they know, to be able to be receptive and to just be able, Lord, to be that role model they need to be that one that tells others and to be that one that is an example and an inspiration. I just ask, Lord, you give them that wisdom that they need each and every day. For these young people, Lord, I just ask your blessings upon them as they prepare their hearts and their minds, some for the first time to go to school. Others, Lord, are going to a new school, whether it be an elementary, middle, or high school. They're making transitions, Lord, and I just ask that you just put your hand upon them and bless the places where they're going to be sitting. Bless the places where they'll be walking. Bless them in their conversation, in the people that they meet as they come along their way this coming week and in all the weeks to come. Lord, give them safety. Allow, Lord, your hedge of protection to be upon them and around them, and allow them, Lord, to be warned off from any evil that might come their way. Lord, just prepare them. Prepare their parents. Prepare their grandparents, those that care for them each and every day, to allow them, Lord, your mercy, to allow them, Lord, your grace. Allow us, Lord, your church, to be able to lift them up each and every day when we see that school bus that drives by and when we see those line of cars that drive up to bring them to school each day, to bless them, Lord, to care for them and to allow them, Lord, to not only see you and hear you, but to feel your presence around them and to be examples of good students as worthy, Lord, and to know that you're there with them each and every day. Let them be blessed, not only this day, but each and every day of their lives. Hold them close, lead and guide them in all that they do, and allow them your peace. For it's in your Son's saving grace I do pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a great, great tomorrow morning. Some are excited, some are not. 6 o'clock comes early. All right. We got a trainee back there. Is that what's the problem? That's it. I knew it was something like that. Now, just because there's a lot of buttons back there, Scott, you don't have to push them all, okay? There you go. We do have concerns this morning, if you'll turn your attention to our prayer list today. I'd like for you to add Kelly Barber's little girl, Claire. Claire's had a rough weekend. She's got a fever, and she's kept them up all night. And yesterday, in and out, they were having some tough times. Kelly came early this morning and was around here cleaning up. Bless her heart. So just remember her. She's supposed to be down in the nursery. I don't know if she made it or not. She's just kind of has, as she says, I'm just run. Don't know which way I'm going. So just remember her today. Also remember the families of Dixie Crone, Daryl Newton, and Mavis Knight. those that have lost loved ones this week. Also, Mr. Bobby Hamilton. Mr. Bobby had a pacemaker and defibrillator put in on Friday at Wake Med. Not Friday, was it Friday? Thursday? It was Friday. Came home yesterday. I talked to him yesterday afternoon, and he said, "Oh, I'm fine." I said, "Well, how was the hospital?" He said, "I don't recommend it." So he didn't recommend it as you needed to go for a vacation to stay off of home. So, but he's glad to be back home. Just continue to lift him up in your prayers. Logan Matthews, we told you on Wednesday night, has been taken off the ventilator, and he's breathing on his own. But he's still having some other difficulties there with waking up and things. So just continue to remember him in your prayers and remember his parents and his grandparents. Yes, sir. Okay, good deal. That's a miracle. If he's... That's great. And we've added Roger and Libby Songer. Roger is Johnny's parents. He's in Roger's in the hospital in West Virginia, and let's remember him today. He was put on life support, so let's just remember him. Also, baby Grace Miller. This is Dee's cousin's little baby. Was scheduled to have surgery. She only weighed a little over a pound when she was born. And they went in to do surgery, and guess what? The hole in her heart's closing on its own. So no surgery. So amen. So the Lord is working in people's lives, so continue to lift them up also. Do we have any others we need to update or add to this morning? Good deal. Amen. Good deal. Way to go, Ethan. Ethan's another one that's he's a little miracle too. He could have been so much worse, but thank the Lord he's healing so good. Miss Angela. Okay. All right. And Gerald Stewart will be having treatments. This is Miss Becky's nephew, and it doesn't look too promising. He's just put him in the Lord's hands, as he always has been, to allow his healing. Pat Strickland had another surgery this week at... See, she was in Wake Med. She's been moved to Duke and having these surgeries. And when she gets through there to go to rehab, she'll be going to rehab at Southeastern Rehab in Fayetteville behind Cape Fear Valley. She's got cancer in several places in her body. They've put rods in her to replace the femurs in both of her legs. Please remember her. They put a plate in her neck to replace there. This is someone who's been in pain and going to the doctor for about a year trying to find out what's wrong. She works within the hospital system. She works in the lab, and they've tried to diagnose it, and when they ever figured it out, she has got cancer in many, many places, and she got to the point where she couldn't walk, and that's kind of what it all turned out to be. So just remember Pat in your prayers and her family, her husband, her son, and her mother-in-law is a real good friend of my mom, so just remember this family today. Anyone else this morning? Tina. What you said the last name was? Thank you. All right. Mr. Bill. Thank you very much. So let's remember the family of Ellen Whittington and her as she grows stronger and the support that she's getting from so many family and friends community. So thank you, Mr. Bill, for that. Anyone else? If not, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, great and mighty God, we do come before you this day thanking you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Thanking you, Lord, for those that we can say that we've seen your healing hand working in their lives in so many ways. From folks getting better, from folks being taken off of machines that were keeping them alive and being able to make it on their own. We just lift them up to you now, Lord, and just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, Lord, for all that you have done. For those, Lord, who are in this transition time in their lives, just waiting, Lord, to meet you. We just ask, Lord, that you be with those families that are in hospice situations right now, whether it be at home or a center. We just ask, Lord, you be with them today, especially, Lord, with the Satt family today. Just ever hold them close. And also the Eason family, Lord. I know that that situation is coming to a close also. So just be with these families, Lord. For those, Lord, who have come through many procedures and things this week, we lift them up to you now. And thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings in their lives. We just lift them up to you now and ask, Lord, your continued mercy upon them. We thank you, Lord, for the little ones that will be going back to school, whether they be for the first time they're going to kindergarten or if they're going into junior high or high school. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just allow your healing hand to be upon them, upon their hearts and upon their mind, and to make them, Lord, to be receptive for your will and your way to be done in and through them, and to allow them, Lord, to be able to learn, to grow. But, the Lord, to allow them to be the example of the young children that you know that they are, to be able, Lord, to be that example, to be that one that steps out in faith, to be that one that doesn't go with the crowd, but to be that one, Lord, that stands up for you. So, Lord, just be with them and protect them as they make their way to school tomorrow, no matter where it is, Lord, all over this world. But we just especially lift up to you now, Lord, Lafayette and Harnett Central Middle and Harnett Central High. And we just ask, Lord, your blessings to be there. And just allow, Lord, your grace to work in and through them. I thank you, Lord, for your peace. I thank you for your understanding. I thank you for your love. But most of all, Lord, I thank you for your Son, our Savior. I thank you, Lord, for the gift that he gave us so many years ago. And that gift of life, so that we can have life eternal. And Lord, so many things He left with us, so many things He gave us, but He left with us a prayer that we say now. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, this is a part of the choir that will be coming and sharing with us this morning. I'm going to call them a Kipling Choral Group. I do have other names for them, but I can't tell you what that would be. So, anyway, just be with them this morning. Miss Wanda and Miss Iris, as they have just a little talk with Jesus. Children, come on up for your children's message.
Good morning. How are you? Thank you. Okay. What is a parable? Tara?
A pair?
No, a parable. Who taught in parables? Jesus taught in parables. He told parables. A parable is a story within a story. It's a story that somebody tells to make a point about something else. And I've got a parable to tell you this morning. There was a young man who was very confused. He just was very, very unhappy. And inside of his heart, he said he felt like he had two dogs. One dog that was very nice, very positive. He was loving and gentle. And the other dog was mean. He was angry. He was all the time negative. And this young man didn't know what to do. So he goes to the wise man in his village. And he said, I just don't know what to do. I can't get rid of the angry dog that's in my heart. What do I do? So the wise man thought for just a few minutes, and he says, I know what to do. You feed the kind dog. You feed the gentle dog. You feed the dog that is loving. The dog that is mean and angry, you don't feed. And the dog that is gentle and kind will win. And the point of that parable is that you need to feed the loving thoughts that are in your heart and in your brain. You need to surround yourselves with people who are loving people and who are Christian people, like here in church. You need to be close to people who love you and care for you and understand you. And the people who are mean and ugly and they have negative, they do things that are bad and you know they're bad, you need to stay away from them. Because the more love that you give your heart and the more love that you pass to other people, the better you're going to be. You don't feel good when somebody does something to you that's mean and ugly, do you? Do you? No. And when you do something to somebody else that's mean and ugly, what happens? Your conscience gets the best of you, doesn't it? So, remember, always feed the positive. Don't feed the negative. Negative means no. Positive means yes. Always feed the positive. Do not feed the negative, okay? And when you start to school this week, there's going to be a lot of negatives because things are going to be new. And things are going to be strange. And people are going to be fussing because they don't know where they're going. But you just say, hey, it's going to be okay. It's all going to be good. Okay? So let's say our prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for these precious children. Precious to you and precious to me. And Lord, as they grow older, I can't let them go. They're still part of my kids. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the sunshine and the chance to come here to talk about you, Lord, and to feed the positive, Lord, to get rid of this angry dog inside of us that we have. Lord, thank you for the positive dog, the one who's always loving and kind. Be with these kids as they go back to school this week, Lord, and let them have a good experience. Be with all the teachers and all the administrators and the bus drivers and the lunchroom people and everybody, Lord, who helped make a school what it is. Be with us all. Bring us back next week ready to learn again, Lord, and ready to show that we do love you in your holy and most precious name. Amen. Okay, since I told you a parable, it could have been a cow's tale. I'm going to give you a cow's tale. You got a whole box of them. Well, then I need one back, don't I? Okay, y'all go line up over there.
Thank you.
Great, mighty God, we do thank you this day for allowing us, Lord, to bring these gifts and place them here upon your altar. We ask, Lord, that you put your hand upon them, Lord, and to use them for your will and your way. To use them, Lord, for us, your church, to be able to allow your ministries to expand from this place into all the world. Allow us, Lord, your grace. Allow us your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are. For it's in your Son's great and holy name I do pray. Amen. Before you're seated, I ask you to find your hymnal and turn in it to Affirmation of Faith, 881, which is our Apostles' Creed. As we say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite Miss Natalie to come up and share with us our Psalter reading this morning.
God is good
all the time.
All right, she's going to be reading Psalm 84.
Good morning. Oh my God, does my voice sound like that? Oh gosh. Okay. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, I'm sorry, I'm very nervous. This is my first time. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, the swallow of the nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near her altar. O Lord Almighty, my King, my Lord, blessed are those who are dwell on your house, in your house, sorry. They are here praising for you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Am I reading the right pages? Thank you. Where am I? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca and make it a place of spring. The autumn rains also cover it within pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God, look with your favor and anoint one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun of shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
Amen. Thank you. Turn to in the hymnals to hymn 361, Rock of Ages.
Thank you.
Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I think of my granddaddy when I think of that song, because my granddaddy Ivy, that was a song he loved. And he told me that we could hide ourselves in the cleft of the rock that was our Lord. So that is something that should mean something not only to me, but to you when you think about it, that we can all hide ourselves in the cleft of God's rock. That's where we find our strength today. Our scripture this day comes from our Old Testament, a lesson from our lectionary readings this week. And it's the 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. And it's all over the place. Verse 1, verse 6, verse 10 and 11, 22 through 30, 41 through 43. This is the dedication of the temple. It's Solomon's prayer of dedication. And it's what we have for today. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders and the ancestral houses of the Israelites before the King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house in the most holy place underneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priest came out of that holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and he spread out his hands to heaven, and he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth, and you have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children look to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea. O God, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer of your servant that your servant prays today in this place. Hear the plea of your servant and your people, Israel, when they pray towards this place. O hear in heaven your dwelling place, heed and forgive. And verses 41 through 43. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your own people, Israel, comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. This is the word of God this day for us as children. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this day, and we thank you, Lord, for your servants. And we ask, Lord, your blessings upon the reading of this word, upon the speaking of this word, upon the hearing of it. And now, Lord, just bless our time that is at hand and allow your mercy to work in and through us. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our lesson today from the Old Testament finds us in the very heart of the book of 1 Kings. Solomon's prayer for dedication over the completed temple that has been before them. They've had years of yearning, of hoping, and of praying for a central place of worship has come to an end. They've completed it. So Solomon stands before the entire assembly of Israel and he invokes. He asks God's blessing upon this place. It is a time of excitement, a time of new beginnings. It is a time for the nation of Israel to consider once again their covenant with their God, Yahweh, and to contemplate what this place might be in their lives and their lives together. In his prayer, Solomon mentions several things that instructs God's people. They are helpful not only as we consider our motivations and calling in any new work or ministry within our church, and whether we're beginning a new year, whether we've got a new worship space, whether we have new Sunday school rooms, it's something that we should consider for ourselves, that we pray for them and we dedicate them. When we finished up this sanctuary back in November, we had a time of dedication. We had a prayer. We came and in a worship service one Sunday morning, we prayed for this space to be completed, and we thanked the Lord for it. We give things back to the Lord. We give new beginnings. If you ever break ground to build something new, you bless that ground where it is to be built. There's lots of things that we bless. We ask God's blessings upon them, God's dedication to be with them. We had a prayer. We blessed the children this morning, the teachers. We want them to have a place of goodness that they're going to be about in this year to come. So it's a time of celebration, a time of hope, a time of what is going on. In our scripture today, first of all, Solomon reminds us that God is bigger than any one building or any one person or any one program. The theology of the temple in 1 Kings has quite a history of development. But here today in Solomon's prayer, we find the assertion that even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. He tells us that in the last part of verse 27. God ultimately transcends any human attempts to contain or localize God's presence. In other words, we can't put God in a box. We can't just put Him there and leave Him and take Him out and allow Him to work for us when we want Him to. That's not the way it works. Many people try to do that. They try to put Him where they want Him. They want Him to always be there, but they haven't figured out that they've got to serve Him. You see, God is elusive and God is all-powerful. The temple, as well as our modern-day churches today, are places where we can go to feel close to God. But God's work and movement is not limited to our human structures. In other words, God doesn't live here all week and just wait for y'all to come on Sunday. God's about His business all week because you, the people, are the church, and you go out from this place. But when you come into this place, it's a place of sanctuary. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of reverence. It's a place of understanding. For many of you, it has so many different connotations because many of you grew up here. You've had the opportunity to see it change, but you've also seen so much of it stay the same. You've seen new improvements, new additions, but you've also seen a place that has grown but is also close to your heart. It's a place where you can come and find peace and find comfort. It's a place where you know that you can come and sit quietly and find God. It's a place of understanding. It's a place for new people to come in and say, wow, it's the traditional sanctuary. It's one that I remember as a child, no matter where they were a child at. And for people who have never been in church, it's a place, hopefully, they find comfort and know that, yes, God is here because God came with them. And they can come in this place and they can pray and they can share and they can be a part because it's a place where you can feel close to God. It's a place where you can feel close to God. A writer from the New Interpreter's Bible many, many years ago by the name of Chun Ling Sao wrote these words. Said, the temple is neither God's residence nor the place where the petitioner personally encounters the deity, which is God. Rather, it is a place at which the needs of the petitioner, which is you and I, coincide with the willingness of God to respond. You see, it's merely the place where God's presence may be known, where the authority of God is proclaimed. So it's a place where the authority of God is proclaimed and where we might can find Him if we've got our hearts and our minds tuned to His will. You see, the temple is not to be equated with God's presence, but is a means to discover God. You see, this leads us to a second point that we find today in Solomon's prayer, and that is the request that the temple be a place of prayer. How often do we take for granted that our houses of worship, that our churches are to be places of prayer? It is easy to forget that the power that lies in these sacred places and spaces, for it is here that humans' needs are met. It is here that humans, that we, you and I, meet with the desires of God to bless and care for us. It is here that we come together not only with that, but we come here and we meet other people who have other things in common with us and who, as our brothers and sisters in Christ, come and share and lift each other up. You see, Solomon thanks God for God's faithfulness in the past, and he asks that God might continue to be present in this beloved people. Not the space, he says, but in the beloved people, Israel, the chosen people. Solomon boldly seeks in verse 29 that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house. How would our ministries change if we were to open our hearts to the transforming power of prayer? You see, prayer does change things, folks. It helps. It's there. It's our constant way of communicating with our Lord. Finally today, Solomon begins a litany of situations in which God's sustaining presence might be needed in the lives of individuals and the community as a whole. What is edifying here is that Solomon does not simply deal with those that are already a part of that chosen community. Oh no. He acknowledges the universal reign of God, and he seeks that the temple might be a place of blessing for all people. He asks of the Lord, when a foreigner comes and prays towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of all the earth may know your name and fear you. He tells us that in the last part of verse 42 and the first part of verse 43. In other words, people that come from afar, people that are from another country, people that are not a member, people that are down the street, people that live across the wayside. Those people that are coming in that are not the Israelite people of that day, that are coming in, those that live next door to us today that come, we are all welcome. The house of the Lord is open. The house of the Lord is receptive for that. You see, the temple is not simply for those of us who already enjoy a relationship with God, for those who know the Lord. We, as God's gathered people, should always be about looking outward, looking beyond these walls, looking to the community, looking to the world. We need to be a blessing to those that we are seeking and have a need of God's presence. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this day. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for this place that we can come, this place that we can learn from, this place that brings us comfort, this place that brings us healing. But Lord, we come to this place for solitude from time to time. We come for this place for understanding. But Lord, we come knowing that you're in our hearts, but coming, Lord, to a familiar place that allows us your mercy. So, Lord, we thank you for this place, this structure, this building that has been. Thank you, Grace, the week that have come in the past, those that are come and gone, those who have gone on to glory, those who are here today, and those yet to come. Lord, we ask your blessings to be with them, to allow your grace and your mercy to work in and through them, to allow us, your people, to begin to find other people and to share your story. And so, Lord, in sharing your story, we share our story. And when we share our story with someone, we draw closer. So, Lord, this day, allow us as we leave this place this morning, or this afternoon, as some of you already know, that you will allow us to be the people that you've called us to be, that you will allow us to be your witnesses, that you will allow us to be your hands and your feet. And what an awesome responsibility that is. What a task that is before us. The Lord, what a glorious thing that it can be. If only we take heed, if only we make that step. Be with us now. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 514. Would you stand as we sing? Stand up for Jesus. Lord, we do thank you this day for this time that has been at hand. And we know, Lord, that it's gone a little long this morning. But sometimes, Lord, you know, that's a wonderful thing. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of something so special this day. We thank you, Lord, for your peace. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love. And allow us, Lord, as we go from this place this day, to always be willing to stand up for you in the places that you are. Hold us close now, for it's in your Son's great and holy name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning for just a little while. Turn it off. Just, you're fine. You just go on. I told Chloe, but Chloe didn't come back up, so she knew. Our benediction this morning, or our response, is going to be wade in the water. And I was finagled into this, I want you to know. And this is It's not going to be the easiest thing I've done because I've talked all morning. So we're going to go for it. In just a second here, when I can hum a minute.
He's the key maker.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
See that host all dressed in white.
God's gonna trouble the water.
The leader looks like the Israelite.
God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. See that band all dressed in red. God's gonna trouble the water. Looks like the band that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Look over yonder, what do I see?
God's gonna trouble the water.
The Holy Ghost coming on me.
God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. If you don't believe I've been redeemed, God's gonna trouble the water. Just follow me down to Jordan Stream. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Amen. Undo my door for me, B.